Hey, everybody, I'm John Moore.
And I'm Jason Salter.
And this is Two Farts
in a Can.
Should we tell everyone what that means?
No.
Okay, let's move on.
All right.
Hey, everybody, welcome to Two Farts in a Can. This is John Moore. Listen, we're going to come back in just a minute with our new episode. Our new episode, which is called, Hey Man, You Want the Last Bite? And we'll do that right after this. Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Two Farts in a Can, and this episode is called, Hey, Man, You Want the Last Bite? That's going to be explained later. I see you already gagging over there. So, Jay, this has been something else, hasn't it?
I got to tell you, it's been the craziest 24 hours I've had in the last 20 years. I never expected that, number one, that we actually knew that many people, and number two, that many people actually gave a crap about sitting around for 30 minutes and listening to anything that we had to say.
Well, what do you feel about the responses that we got and some of the people that have called us and all of that? Well, I mean, tell me some of the neatest things you've seen in this.
You know, I'll tell you, and for those of you that maybe didn't go to high school with John and I, and you don't really understand that whole experience, it's not just about John and I. We've said this for years. We have the most unique group of people that we went to school with. And most of us knew each other from kindergarten, elementary school, all the way up until we graduated. And there were literally hundreds of us that spent our lives together. And to this day, you can make a phone call and 85 to 100 people would show up at a bar to have cocktails with you on a moment's notice.
Some of them older than us, and some of them were older, and some of them were younger.
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah, multiple classes across multiple stages and parents and stuff. It's just the most unbelievable thing you've ever seen. But all of these people came to listen to what we had to say, and we've had some amazing responses. The one that sticks out the most in my mind is, we have a friend from elementary school and junior high and high school, and her name's Patty McGinty. And we love Patty, and we've known her for years. And she sent a message last night, and she said, listen, I'm in the medical field, and this coronavirus thing has really had me depressed and down. I'm working a lot of hours, and it's very sad. She said, but listening to the two of you talk and tell stories took me back to a time that was very, very happy in my life. And I just want to thank you for allowing me to take a break from reality for a half an hour and really take a breath and enjoy the things that I remember in life that were so amazing. And
thank you, Patty.
I love you too, baby. That was wonderful. Thank you so much for that.
Yeah. And Patty always, just every time on Facebook too, anything I post about the kids or anything, she's always on there and giving well wishes and all of that. So tell me, did you, this time last week, did you think you'd be a podcaster?
No, as a matter of fact, this time last week, I thought I might be unemployed if this coronavirus thing kept up. So this has been a nice distraction. You know, John's been doing this for a while, and he finally got me to listen to his baseball podcast. I'm not really a baseball guy, but, you know, I just loved listening to John talk. He and I have known each other since we were, you know, almost in vitro, and known each other our entire lives. And we've spent the majority of our time talking to one another and just cracking ourselves up. And I never thought that I would actually be sitting here doing something like this. I mean, look at me. I'm spending Friday afternoon right now at about 6:15, having drinks and bullshitting with my best friend on a podcast, and other people are listening to it, which is the best part of the whole thing.
It's so kind of cool.
John, thank you, man, because I never would have done this had you not have, you know, kind of pushed me to do it, and I heard you do it, and then I got kind of jealous, and so I just did it. I wanted to be just like you.
Well, doesn't the moniker fit? I mean, I never thought that my podcast would be something you would really be into, because I am a Ranger nerd, the recliner nerd, the little handle I go by. I am a Ranger nerd. It's been really cool. You know, I've gotten to go get into locker rooms, and I'm part of the press now. That's really neat. I mean, it's kind of a cool deal, you know, living your best life.
I got to be honest, John, I didn't know it was about the Rangers until just now. I just thought it was about you straggling through locker rooms.
So tell me about the responses we got from the first one. What sticks out besides Patty? Anybody else? Tell me some of the
No, I've heard from people. I heard from Greg Feitz, and any of you that know Greg Feitz, you know
what enough of that.
Greg Feitz, exactly. I hadn't heard from the guy in 30 years, but he's doing great. He's in Hawaii. He's married. His brother, his parents, his whole family's down there. And, you know, he's just living the dream. He's playing golf and living on an island in Hawaii. And he reached out to me and he said, you know, he goes, I hadn't thought about you guys in a long time. He goes, but I listened to that podcast. I wasn't going to do it. He said, but then I thought, what the hell? And he goes, within 10 minutes, he said, it was like sitting around a bonfire, drinking beer, listening to you two go at one another like you always did. And it was just such an amazing thing. It's so nice to hear people's voices and reminisce.
Oh, yeah. And this, and listen, we want to make sure people understand this. We will have more people from our class or even just other people we know that had funny stories with us. We'll have guests every once in a while. Let's get this thing rolling and get it going on the deal and go from there. And that, but that's the plan. I mean, to get, you know, certain people on one night and talk, get fights on one night or talk to somebody when we know a funny story that we would need a third person to do. We're going to talk about the title. So every episode is going to be a title. The first one was the introduction. That was just introducing this two farts in a can, which by the way has meaning. Two farts in a can has meaning. You're not going to know about it. Obviously, you heard from the intro. We're not going to tell you that yet. But today's is, hey, man, do you want the last bite? That's a funny story. Every time we've ever told the story, Jay, it's a funny story.
Every time you say it, it makes me throw up in my mouth a little bit because I'm actually the butt of this joke. And it's
which is very rare.
You know, but it was such a fantastic story. John called me today. And he's like, we have to tell the story tonight. And I'm like, you know what? Screw it. I'm in.
Okay.
Not the fact that half you people listening were probably there when it happened.
And when we talk to Todd Daniel, we're going to get him on. I think when I finally break the Todd Daniel story that even you don't know about,
I don't.
We'll have to be the live story. It's from fifth grade. Todd and I were both brand new at Alexander. And what's funny about this, he never told me not to say anything. It's just all of a sudden about 10 years ago, he said, I kind of brought it up as a joke. And he goes, did you ever tell anyone about that? And I said, you know, I don't think so. Maybe my wife, just for fun and kicks and griggles. He goes, neither have I. He goes, I can't believe you never outed me on any of that. And I went, I guess I was just a nice guy back then. I don't understand why I didn't either. So we'll have to get that one.
I can't believe that nobody saw you guys kissing behind the swing set. I mean, I was right there. It's not really a secret. I mean, listen.
He stole my comb.
When two people love each other, they share a special hug.
He stole my comb. That's what the whole thing started with.
That means you're going steady.
I know it. Okay, topics or questions that folks wanted to talk about. So this was stuff that we kind of put it out there about, hey, you guys give us something to talk about and tell us what you want to talk about. Jamie Keene, both of us know Jamie Keene. She said, talk about spin the bottle.
First of all, I want to say, Jamie, don't worry. The sore on my lip has healed.
Hey, there was only two really big spin the bottle games I ever remember. I think one of them might have been at Jamie's house, but I remember, do you remember my eighth grade birthday party at my house?
I remember that you were only at two spin the bottle games. I was at multiple games.
That's probably
the one at your house.
We had the makeout room,
the makeout room.
That was the utility room that was just off the garage there. And oddly enough, it didn't matter if the bottle hit me or not. no one would go with me there. So I spin the bottle. I remember someone, they made a joke about it. Did you ever, you know, did y'all kiss both? And I was like, Jamie, did we ever kiss? I don't even remember. And she said she'd never kiss and tell. So I don't have a clue. I can't remember. I'm too old and senile.
I got a funny kissing story. It just came to me.
What?
So anybody that knows John and I knows that we actually have no level of shame at all. And so we talked a little bit last week about he and I going to a football game, and he flew into Atlanta. We went to the Cowboys, the Falcons play. And you know when you're sitting up in the stand and you do the kiss cam during timeouts?
Yes.
And they're going around, and they're showing it on the big screen, and John and I are sitting there, and he looks at me, and he goes, if that thing lands on us, I'm putting my tongue in your mouth. And I said, if that thing lands on us, I'm jerking you off. That's all. We're going to live it out right here.
Okay, try to go rated G, not all the way rated R here. But that – Hey, so do you know who Dave Janney is? I don't know Dave Janney.
Yeah, I know Dave Janney. Dave Janney actually put a question out there, and this is the amazing thing, because I posted, if you follow the Facebook page on the group, it's Two Farts in a Can. If you're not in it, you should find it and get on there. And by the way, you need to be following us on Twitter too. Two Farts in a Can.
At Two Farts in a Can. And the number two. At the number two Farts in a Can.
Right. Okay. So Dave, I posted this whole thing, and it's a never have you ever. And I said, hey, if you ever wanted to ask any of us a question, and I had something goofy to say on there, give us a question and we'll see if we can answer it on the air. It took Dave exactly 81 seconds to come up with, have you ever hit on a deaf girl?
Yes.
Oh, just listen. They're not talking to you.
Hey, I'm telling you now, 98% of the women that I ever hit on had to be deaf, because they never said a word. They looked confused and they walked away. And my guess is they didn't hear what I said, right?
I know that your best pickup line was, hey, want to dance? And the next one was, oh, you don't? How about you?
Sometimes I think my wife's deaf. I mean, she just ignores me, which you know, Kathy, and you know Kathy well. Is that not a saint or what to put up with me?
Oh, I got to tell you, brother, you way outkicked your coverage on that one. Like, you're going to want to back up and take a knee.
Oh, I know it. I'm telling you, I've done that many times. What about you? You ever dated a deaf girl?
No.
Or have you ever hit on one?
Oh, I'm sure I have. And as a matter of fact, I think I probably actually hooked up with one at one point. It was so strange because she was holding me with one hand and moaning with the other one. It's like having sex with Lane Frost, and it just tried to hang on for 8 seconds.
Oh, my gosh. You're bad. You are so bad.
The weird thing is, 81 seconds? Dave must have had that thing in the holster for 6 months just waiting on somebody to ask that question.
No.
Hey, you ever hit on a deaf girl? Hey, you ever been in a Turkish prison?
Have you ever seen – but have you seen where some of these people just came up with just the weird – like John Starnes jumped on and right away went, Coach Buchanan.
I think there's some underlying issues there that John needs to address in therapy.
Hey, let me tell you what. Coach Buchanan ended up being one of my favorite coaches ever that I ever had. But I remember, you know, Coach Buchanan was, for those that don't know, he was at Reed Junior High. He was the eighth grade football coach, and he was the head. He was kind of the head of the athletics at Reed when we were there. And I don't want to say that Coach Buchanan didn't have faith in me, because I was literally 4'6" and weighed about 74 pounds. But our first day, now my seventh grade year, I started offense and defense, and so did you. And we were kind of, you know, there. And but my eighth grade year was when Doug Moore moved in, and Doug Moore comes to the first day of practice, and I'm sitting there at safety, and Coach Buchanan walks up with Doug Moore. He's got his arm around him. He goes, hey, Coach Moore. It was Coach Moore. He goes, Doug, and he goes, hey, Doug, this is Doug Moore. He's new. I don't know what we can look at him at. And he looked me straight in the eyes, and he goes, maybe at safety. And I mean, he was looking right at me, and I was like, what did I do? And I didn't weigh crap. And so, but there you go, John. We did. Coach Buchanan, I mean, everyone loved Coach Buchanan, that's for sure.
Hey, Doug Moore was a beast too. That guy was like 11 feet tall in the seventh grade.
I know it. And he was the one guy that took on the fight. I forget who it was. And let's go to this next one, because this one's always intrigued me. Chris Martin. Chris Martin wants to know who the best athlete in Duncanville is.
That's you, John.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't even think about that. Who do you think? The best athlete ever to come out of Duncanville, besides me, obviously?
Tina Haskins.
Tina Haskins, hey, don't right? talk about – she's my missus. You know that, right? Because I was Mr. and she was Mrs. RJHS.
Wow.
That was intriguing.
Throwback. Congratulations for peaking in the seventh grade.
I did. It was eighth grade, actually. You could only win that in eighth grade. And I came up to about her chin. I mean, she was like a foot taller than me. It didn't make for very good photos for her. I think she was trying to keep from laughing.
They were amazing photos.
So, you know, I've always thought maybe Pete Collins, you know, which was sad. Everybody remembers Pete. Do you remember Pete Collins, the guy that got killed in the car wreck? And we were about seventh grade when he graduated high school. But, you know, we had a lot of great athletes come from Duncanville, if you think about it. You know, we had
Barry Foster, Dave Need.
Yep. Ray Crockett, Greg Ostertag.
You know what the best thing is, John? That poll we put on Facebook, we are actually more popular than Greg Ostertag and David Neat.
Well, that's they obviously never saw us play.
Now, so, granted, there were only four people on that list, and we were one of them. And the rest of them we misspelled. It doesn't matter, though. It doesn't matter.
Yeah.
A win is a win.
Okay, you know what Roger Eagle brought up? And I don't remember Roger Eagle being in this, was Grease. You remember the play Grease we did in eighth grade?
I remember you in the play Grease.
Were you in it?
Yes, I was an extra. I was supposed to be Danny, but apparently I'm so fucking stupid. I failed English that semester, and my mother wouldn't let me in it, but I'm going to work through that. It's been a while.
Yeah.
No, I had to be an extra, and Nicky Dakin got to play that part.
Yeah, Nicky Dakin. There's a name. Boy, he was he was Danny, and to this day, I will be forever known as Duty.
That's right. You and Nicky. Nicky had a voice like a bad transmission. You could actually sing, which was nice. You looked like an 8-year-old girl, but you could sing.
You know what? I'll never forget about that. That we were playing. I played baseball. You did. You played for the Cubs, and I played for the Giants. And my dad was one of the coaches. And so I told him I was going to do this musical, and he was like, not for it. He did not want me to do that. He didn't think, and I was going to have to miss a game or whatever. And so my mother kept telling him, you need to go to this. You know, I think we only did 3 shows one weekend, right, or something like that. And so that my dad came to the very last show. And when we walked out, he said, I'm so sorry. I wish I'd have gone to all 3 of them. He missed it. He thought it was great and that we did a good job. And so that it was right there that I probably should have just quit trying to be an athlete and started, you know, hey, okay, last one of these is the –
Wait a minute, before we move on, do you remember Miss Woolheater throwing her cane at us?
Shoot, yeah, she was deadly with that thing.
You had to be quick.
Boy, she was fast. She could swing that thing. She was like Dwight from The Office with his nunchucks or something, man. Hey, your brother-in-law, Phil Bork, wants to know, what are the top 5 sports movies? Now, this could go all over the place if you want to know the truth. Sure. This could go all over the place because here's why. My sports movies and what the sports you like could go in different places. Sure. So, you know, like I'm more of a baseball guy, although I love football and love basketball.
Well, let's do a couple.
Okay, so my number one probably sports movie. Well, I don't know. One of my favorites of all time is something like Hoosiers. I mean, I really enjoyed Hoosiers.
Right.
Did you like
basketball?
I didn't see that one, but I know the one you're talking about. Is that the one that was half softball and or basketball? I can't remember.
it was half softball and half basketball, John. This is why we don't agree on things. You just don't pay attention most of the time.
So you probably liked dodgeball, and you consider that a sport when you know, and I want to go for something like, you know, something like Kevin Costner in what's one of the many, what Kevin Costner's every other movie he makes is a baseball movie. But the one he made in Iowa, what is it? You know, if you build it, they will come.
Had your mind a while, did it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Field of Dreams, John?
Field of Dreams. I've actually been there, by the way. I've been there on a business trip. And
maybe I should have took a picture of the sign that had the name of the field on it.
This is what comes with being 52 years old. My brain sometimes goes, hey, wait a minute, I was looking at this over here, hang on a second, and it starts looking at something else and forgetting what I was talking about.
See, and that's why we're a little bit different, because you think about sports and you think Kevin Costner, which is weird. I think about sports and I think about, of course, Tony Danza. Garbage kick and field goal kick in Philadelphia phenomenon. Greatest Tony Danza movie ever made.
What was it called?
The Garbage Picking, Field Goal Kicking, Philadelphia Phenomenon. I know you don't know what it's about because there's not enough descriptions in the title. It's about a garbage picking, field goal kicking phenomenon from Philadelphia.
That is one I'm going to try on Netflix because I have never – you know what? Hey, here's a classic. You and I watched this one together, The Fish That Saved Pittsburgh. Remember that one?
I love The Fish That Saved Pittsburgh.
That was a good one.
That was an amazing movie.
That was a great movie. Another good sports movie is The Bad News Bears, if you want to go baseball, right?
Yeah, the greatest thing about The Bad News Bears, great movie. Bad News Bears go to Japan, not so great.
Nope, no, they really ruined it. They really screwed it up. And I got tired of everyone saying I look like Tanner.
I think you look like the other kid.
Which you're going to have to be more specific.
Not Tanner. Who was the other one? Crap.
No.
I commented on it on Facebook. I'll remember just saying when I do, I'm going to shout it out like I have Tourette syndrome, but we can move on.
Okay. So, all right. So we've gone through some great, in actuality, in good sports movies, that there really are some good ones out there. I think I like it when I like a good sports movies. I like one that's based on a true story. I kind of like those kind of movies in actuality, if you want to think.
Lupus.
Lupus from the Bad News Bears.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, whatever. So when I think of, when I think of good, I tell you a sports movie that was based on a true story that was really good was called McFarlane USA. Have you ever seen that?
It would take a robot not to cry at that movie. I literally laid in my, I wish I was making this up. I'm not. I don't know why, but I laid in my bed and literally was brought to tears by that movie.
It's fantastic, isn't it?
It's amazing.
And get who's in it?
Tony Danza.
Kevin Costner was in it. Kevin Costner plays this retiring football coach who becomes it's a true story. And at the end, when they showed who they were, McFarlane USA, can they not go wrong with that? That's a good movie, isn't it?
It is a fantastic movie. If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it.
Okay, so let's get into the next segment. And our next segment is going to be five questions to each other. So he does not have any clue what my questions are to him. And do you have – I don't have any clue what your questions are to me.
I have no idea.
So I'm going
to – I have five. Okay. But we're going to figure it out.
I've got the first one. I'm going to ask you. What is the scaredest you have ever been?
The scaredest I have ever been?
Yep.
Well, there were two, and both of them involved you, by the way.
Me?
Yeah.
I can't get pregnant.
At one point, John and I were, I don't want to say addicted to shoplifting, but we had a spot in our life where we decided that it'd be fun to steal shit from Mr. M, the convenience store.
Yep.
And it started out with a pack of M&Ms and eventually evolved into about $80 worth of groceries every time we went in there. And we pulled out of there one time in my 74 Chevy Vega with the entire car full of candy and soda and everything we could steal from there. And a cop followed us all the way home. And I almost crapped my pants. The second one, and probably the most important one, me, John, and Kevin Freeman.
Oh, my gosh. Yes.
Brace yourselves. We went across. For those of you who don't know what a cross is, because you didn't go to high school with us, in Texas, there are wet.
Wait, let me stop you. For anybody under the age of 21, put your fingers in your ears right now and don't listen. Okay, go ahead.
Me, John, and Kevin Freeman, we were designated to go across for a party. And what going across meant was you were the people that had the ID, and you could then go across
fake
the river.
ID.
Fake ID.
Fake ID.
You go across the river, which is where they sold alcohol. In Texas, there were wet areas and there were dry areas. We lived in a dry area. You could go to Grand Prairie and you could buy beer or wine. But if you wanted liquor, you had to go downtown. You had to drive across Trinity River. And there was a little spot right there. It was a Keller's hamburger joint right there. And then there were a couple little liquor stores right there.
Yep.
So we pull into this liquor store. We go in and we look all of 12 or 13 years old at tops.
What are you saying? I looked young?
It did. And so we go into this liquor store and we've got a list, right? So we got that. We're picking up this. We got, and I want to say it was a bottle of Jack Daniels and a couple cases of beer. And we get all this stuff for the party, right?
No,
we
if you remember now I know what you're thinking. So we went and got beer and we got our beer. But when we left the store, Freeman wanted Tickle yes. Pink.
California coolers.
That's whatever it was. Yeah. And we had to go to a new store because they weren't selling those at the beer store. We had to go to this other place.
He wanted, I don't know why, there was a girl he was dating that wanted California coolers. Yep. Talked us in to pull it into another store. And he goes in by himself, and John and I are in the car. And Freeman comes back out, stands on the front porch of this liquor store, holds up his two four-packs of coolers and says, I got them. And apparently got him is the word that triggers the undercover police officers to pull into the parking lot and make you dump out all your booze.
Yep. Right behind us.
Squad car.
Right behind us. Parked right behind us.
Parked right behind us. Lights are going. The whole deal. We are in total panic mode.
Not me. So,
not John. So for those of you that don't know, my father is a Dallas police officer, or was
retired. Yeah, he's retired.
So this cop comes up and he's talking to us and he says, you come with me. And he takes John back to the squad car, and Freeman and I are shaking like we've got Parkinson's in this car. John's in the back of this squad car and he's making eye. I'm looking at him in the rearview mirror, and this is how well we know one another. This son of a bitch knows I'm looking at him in the rearview mirror, and he's making faces at me from the back of the squad car. So they have, what did they say to you in the car? I wasn't in there. What did they say to you?
Well, the deal was right away, I was 18. And so the only thing they could do to me was give me a minor in possession. And they said, and they had mentioned to me that I was 18. So basically it'll come to you and you'll just have to go to court. You guys were not yet 18.
No.
So yours had to go to your parents.
Yes.
And I knew this. And so they had mentioned it to me. So I was like, oh, well, I just have to intercept the mail. That's no big deal.
John gets out of the car, comes back. Now they take me. And I'm in the back of the car, and I'm in total panic mode. And the guy's got my fake ID up there. And I said, I think you have it, sir. And he goes, no, the real one.
Yeah.
So I pull it out, and I hand it to him, and he goes, are you Ron Salter's kid? If I didn't shit my pants, it felt like I shit my pants. We end up having to pour all the booze out. They sent letters home to our parents. That might have been the most terrified I've ever been. Not because of the police. I was actually hoping they would arrest me because I was terrified of what my father would do to me.
Oh, yeah. Well, everyone was scared of Ron. Okay. So that's the scariest you've ever been. You got to ask me one.
All right. Have you ever thrown your brother under the bus over a ping pong game?
You're getting personal. Okay. Yes, I love my brother very much. But so we at one time, now actually I didn't even know you then. This was before I moved over there, but we had a ping pong table in the garage. And my father, now deceased, was a very strict person about, y'all, I was really mean to my brother and I should have never done this. But my father had said over and over, you cannot get on the ping pong table. Well, if any of you ever played ping pong, my little brother Kevin was just barely big enough to where his head was over the table on the end, and I was on the other end. And you know how the balls sometimes get caught up in the net up there and it'll stick next to the deal? Well, he didn't hit it right and it got stuck up to the net. And I said, well, get up there and get it. And he goes, no. He goes, Dad said we can't ever get on the ping pong table. I said, Dad is at work. It was summer. And I said, he does not hear. Just get the ball. He gets up, gets the ball. We start playing ping pong. A couple more times it does it. You know, I'm really in it. I'm not going to lie. I'm an asshole. I said a bad word, but I am an asshole.
Maybe the greatest understatement of the night.
Yeah. So we get to the kitchen table that night. We're sitting there. Mom's made chicken or whatever, and we're eating at the table. We used to eat around the table back then. We're all sitting there eating, and just within – I'm taking bites. In between bites, I'm like, oh, yeah, Kevin, don't forget to tell Dad you got on the ping pong table. And my brother, I wish you could have seen his bottom jaw dropped, and he dropped his fork, and all he would have had to said was, you told me that I could do that, and I would have been up a creek. But he didn't say a word. He was so shocked that I said it. He couldn't say anything. And my dad, you know, now I feel bad.
And tune in next week when I make John tell everybody how he faked blindness until his brother cried.
That is wrong. Hey, what is the second question? What is the best prank you have ever played on someone?
Oof. The best prank I ever played on somebody. Wow.
Because I've got a great one.
I don't know that I've ever really pulled off a great one.
Oh,
what's
I did.
What's the best prank you ever pulled on somebody?
Well, the best one, I mean, this is, I don't know if I've ever told you that one. It was Gary, Mark, and Sylvia. Right. So we were, you know, obviously with the Texas Rangers that I do, I go to Ranger games a lot. And so me and Kevin and Gary and Syl were at a Ranger game, and we're sitting there, and it's a, and we've had a couple of pops that we're drinking and having some fun. And out of the blue, Kevin just, we had wondered why Gary Mark had not asked Sylvia to marry her. You know, we didn't know why he had asked him to marry. Have you never heard this?
No.
Okay. So Kevin, I'm sitting next to Sylvia. Gary Mark's on the other side of Sylvia, and Kevin's next to me. He kind of leans up and looks around me and goes, dude, are you ever going to ask her to marry you? Well, they were looking away and didn't hear it. So I elbowed him, and he looked at me, and I said, dude, shut up. And he goes, what? And I go, dude, he's asking her in the seventh inning. It's going to be on the screen. And he goes, oh, my God. So the rest of the game, if you can imagine, if Jay can see my face, Jay can see my face, no one else can. My brother would look down at Gary Mark, and he would go like that. And if you could see Gary Mark would look at him and go. They did this for six innings. This happened, and Kevin would keep looking over there, and he would go like, "Yeah," or he would go, "Dude," or like. And Gary Mark had the most confused look on his face, and he kept going, "Yeah, you know, okay." He didn't know what. So about the seventh inning, Kevin's head went on a swivel, and I mean, it hit, and he was looking all around for the camera, and he was going everywhere. And I just leaned over and I went, dude, I was just kidding. And he blurted out in front of children everywhere, shut the up. And I mean, every head in our section turned and looked at him, and he goes, you gotta be effing kidding me. And I was like, dude, settle down. And Gary Mark and Sylvia had this horrid look on their face, like, what in the world is going on? And then when I told him what happened, I was great. I mean, that's just my personality. But that was mine. But you know Gary Mark, so you know the look he could look. He's my uncle. He's my uncle, by the way.
He's been such a great sport through all of our shenanigans. Him and Farty Marty and
have begun
lexicon over the last 30 years.
Okay, what's my question?
All right. Have you ever serenaded Dina Weaver?
Yes. Greg Johnson and I did.
Would you like to sing the part of the duet that you sang for them?
No, because I can't remember the song. But Greg Johnson, you know, he's a pastor now and leads worship and all that. But, you know, and he was serenading Yvonne.
That exactly doesn't talk to me anymore.
Huh?
That explains why he doesn't talk to me anymore.
Oh, there's more reasons than that. No, but, you know, Yvonne Azuna, he ended up married. They've been married now for 30 years or whatever. And Greg, that's when we were going into high school, and he had a big crush on her. And Dina and I were just the other two. And so I did serenade Dina. And, you know, and Dina made the wise choice to move on to someone taller and more handsome as it went on. So, you know, that's basically where that was. So let me ask you, what is your all-time favorite food?
My all-time favorite food? Depends on the mood, but I'd probably say Chinese food.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Chinese food. Do you like sushi?
Yeah. Yeah. Love sushi. I love just about anything. I like chili with corn in it.
We're not getting into that. I don't want to get into that.
Yeah, I like just about anything. But I love Chinese food. I mean, I eat a lot of vegetables. Those are those things that grow out of the ground, John. I don't know if you've ever seen them.
No, if you've looked at me, you know that vegetables and I have a love-hate relationship.
John told me one time, why would I climb to the top of the food chain to eat grass?
Yeah, I don't eat what rabbits eat.
That's right. I eat the rabbit.
Yeah, I eat what my food eats. I mean, you're wanting me to eat what my food eats. That's what it is. Meat, it's what's for dinner. Okay, you got another one for me?
I do have another one for you. It's so funny because your questions went very generic. Mine went straight at your freaking soul.
Great.
You ever light 20 farts in one night?
I think I beat that record.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah. I think I beat that record, if you want to know the truth. I think I did beat that record. Hey, Jason, did you assist me?
I held the lighter. And for all the girls on the phone, farts do light. It's yes. real.
Yeah, they know that. They all did it, too. They just never they just won't admit it. You telling me Kitty Mayo didn't light a fart?
I held the lighter while Kitty Mayo.
Yenta. What's her last name now?
Yentema.
Yentema. Okay. Anyway, you're right. Telling me her and Terry Hester and them didn't light farts? You got to be crazy.
No. They didn't light.
Okay, so anyway, so that's where we're. I got one more question for you now. So I want to go back to you again. Okay, what if you what deceased family member or friend do you miss the most? We're getting a little serious here.
Yeah, probably my grandfather on my mother's side or my grandmother on my father's side. Both of them very influential people.
Nani. Nani. I knew Nani.
Nani was the coolest chick on the planet.
Yes, Nani was.
She was old. She had been through a million
things. She was old?
The depression, and she just lived through everything, but just had such an amazing attitude. She was an extremely Christian woman and a God-fearing woman and just an amazing person to be around. But John loved her because she was the consummate Ranger baseball fan.
Like, oh, she was.
Everything about Ranger baseball and yeah. football. He was actually one of the coaches on our Little League football team. My dad coached our Little League football team and my nanny coached the team. And it wasn't an honorary position. Like, she actually knew what she was doing.
It was how to shut her up. She was too loud on the sidelines.
Oh my God. She was just such an amazing woman. When she passed away, I was living in Georgia and she had been sick for a while and they put her in hospice and I was starting a new job at the time. And my dad called me and said, hey, you know, your nanny's not doing good. She's in hospice. And we all knew it was coming. So, you know, we've been prepared for it. And I said, I just started a new job. I said, I can come right now if you think I need to. And he said, it's going to be a few days. He said, I'll let you know when you need to come. I said, okay. And so about 3 days later, he called me. And I was in Nashville doing some training. And he called and he said, you're probably going to want to get here as soon as you can. They said she could die at any minute. And so I got in my car and I drove, I think it was 12 hours.
I remember that.
And pulled into the parking lot and my ex-wife and I drove there 12 straight hours without stopping. Pulled into the parking lot. It was about 3 o'clock in the afternoon the next day. And I got out of the car and I rushed inside and they took me immediately into the room where she was and she died within 15 minutes of me getting there.
Yeah, I remember that.
It was one of the most moments of my entire life.
You called me. I remember you calling me when Nani died. I didn't even realize she had been sick and you called. It was a shock, especially when we grew up with Nani being there all the time and hanging for – okay, no more downers. I'm not going to bring that
down. Thanks for sucking the wind right out of the room, John.
Okay, so bring it – so, see, I had more serious questions. You can tell our personalities what I'm asking here. So you're asking me of the hell I rained on my brother while I'm asking you what's your favorite food. So this would be a – okay, so go. What's one for me?
You know, I only had four questions for you, and you answered all of them, and they were fantastic, by the way. But I think the final question would be, I want to ask you, and it's not really so much a would you ever question, but your beautiful daughter Allie is about to get married.
How do I feel about it?
Yeah.
Next question. So no. Listen.
Listen. You made me talk about Nani passing away. You better spill it.
Actually, Allie, look, so Allie's 22. She just – look, Allie exceeded expectations, kind of the way Morgan did. Morgan's my goddaughter, by the way. Allie asked me, why don't I have a godfather? And I said, well, I don't know. We never did that. So she said, well, I'm going to do it. I said, well, good. I'm a godfather to Morgan. And, you know, so we – but so you know you have a beautiful daughter, Morgan, my goddaughter, who's – about 4 years older than Allie, I think, 4 or 5 years older.
A little bit older than that. She'll be 28 or 27 this year.
Okay, so Allie's 22. And so Allie's mother and I were never married. And so we, you know, she grew up coming to and from our houses and all of that. Ended up moving in with Kathy. And Kathy known her since she was 4. So she doesn't remember life without Kathy. So Kathy's like another mother to her. And so we, you know, and her mom still, you know, lives up here north of us. And so when she met a guy the summer before her senior year of high school, he went to Richardson where we live. He went to Richardson Berkner. And she actually was a cheerleader up in Plano. And so they met and they were working together at a water park and all of that. And she was a lifeguard and he worked. And so they were so much their whole senior year. They dated at separate schools and they would go to prom together and all of that. And then they were madly in love, they thought. And then they were going to go off to college. He was going to Arkansas. She was going to Midwestern State. So, you know, they were heartbroken. How are we going to make it work? And we said, oh, if you're really meant to be, you'll make it work and all of that. And as they drove away to separate schools, Kat and I were like, okay, well, they'll meet new people at school. But they dated 3 years at separate schools and did all of that. And so I knew after 2 years, I looked at Kathy and said, that's going to be our son-in-law. And he treats her like gold. He's a big kid. Allie's 4'11". He is 6'4".
Yeah.
And
like
so
11 I'm feet tall and Allie's like a Polly Pocket.
Yeah. They came and stayed with you, didn't they? That before. Yeah. So I'm going to have 6 foot grand me and Logan is going to be my son-in-law. Me and his dad kid each other. I said, you know, we're going to have 6 foot granddaughters and 5 foot five grandsons is what we're going to have. So I'm actually excited. This whole COVID, this virus thing's really thrown a wrench in things. So we don't know. She's supposed to get married June 5th. You know, she graduated college a semester early. She went during the summer, every summer she went while she was working and took extra classes and graduated this summer. I mean, in December she graduated. She was substitute teaching, living with us, substitute teaching. So it's been great. I look forward to it. I hope they get to get married in June. I know they're ready to. I'm ready for them to move out of my house. So, we love having them there, but we have a bigger house now, a nice big house it's great. And it's 4 extra people, but when 6 people that are all 13 and above to adults live there, you know, you're trying to get laundry done. There's, you know, that's a lot of laundry.
With Logan being over 6 feet tall, that makes him the tallest person in the house. Are you ever afraid he's going to get angry and just start stomping on you guys and take over the house because he's bigger than everybody?
No, he's scared of Allie.
I would be scared of Allie.
I'm not. I'm the only one that keeps Allie in check. Everyone else is scared of Allie, but I'm the one that looks over. I can give her a look and she'll go, oh. I mean, the look your dad used to give you, sure. If you remember that. Okay, so, dude, the time has come. it has come.
I hoped we'd run out of time before we got to it.
But. No, we didn't. Hey, man, do you want the last bite? That is a story that is far and away one of our greatest. It never bothered me. Apparently it bothered you, but let's set the table here for what this all comes from. It was our last football game, our senior year. And a lot of guys will remember this. After our last football game, Michael Martin's family threw a party for us. The Catholic Michael Martin and his family threw a party for us. And
wait a minute.
What?
Why is it important that he's Catholic?
Because Catholics, I was Baptist, and, you know, my mom tried to pretend that we never had a drop of alcohol.
That's right. Baptists don't even have sex standing up because somebody might think they're dancing.
That's true. Yeah. Marie Martin and George Martin were there, and Marie Martin made margaritas. I had never had a margarita. You undoubtedly had never had a margarita.
No.
So let's just say the rule was we'd all go over there. We were all going to spend the night and stay there that night.
Our parents knew we were there and they knew what we were doing.
Yep. I don't think they probably knew we were drinking, but they knew we were going to stay over there and spend the night. But the Martins were not going to let us leave.
Correct.
And remember this too. Now, a lot of us, we were 18 and the drinking age was actually 19. So it wasn't like we were, you know, we were you know, close. We were pretty close to being of age at the time. We were got to drink for about a week before they changed it to 20, or I did. And so, anyway, you didn't handle it well, Jason.
No. His parents were hanging down in the basement, I think, with some other parents that were there from some kids that were at the party.
Yeah.
And they came upstairs. Mike's mom came upstairs to make another pitcher of margaritas. It wasn't part of what we were doing. We were drinking beer and doing our normal thing.
Yeah.
And she came up and we were sitting at the table playing quarters or, you know, whatever stupid drinking game we were doing. And she started talking and I started talking to her and I said, "What are you making?" And she said, "Margaritas." And I said, "Oh." And she said, "Have you ever had margaritas?" And I said, "No." And she said, "Would you like some?" And I said, "Yes."
Yes.
Yes, I would.
And it tasted like just lemon lime to you or something.
Like lime Gatorade. It was amazing.
Yeah. So Jason started drinking it like it was lime Gatorade.
It wasn't.
Hey, there was tequila in it, Jason.
What?
So Jason, needless to say, did not take long for Jason to be immobile. Is that a word?
I think that's given me a lot more credit than I probably had coming. I've never been one to take things in moderation. No. And this was another one of those moments.
Okay, so there's a line I say that's, "Hey, man, do you want the last bite?" We'll get to that, but we have to keep going. So tell us about your evening.
So I'm sitting at the table, and I forget who it was, but there were several girls there, and we were all sitting around and playing games and having a good time. And everybody was enjoying the margaritas until we finished the first pitcher. And then apparently I became very possessive of the pitcher of margaritas and decided the next pitcher was just for me. Yep. And I drank the just for me. Yep. Now, I don't know why to this day, and I've wrestled with it for a while, but I don't know why to this day that we weren't allowed to drive our vehicles to go home, but getting on the four-wheelers and the motorcycles was a great idea.
Oh, yeah, let's do that.
So Kyle Davis took me out back and said, "Let's go ride four-wheelers." I said, "Okay." Well, that was like pretty much just stick me up as hard as you could with all the tequila in there. By the time we got back, I think it took two or three of you guys to drag me back into the house. They took me upstairs into one of the extra bedrooms, stripped me down of all my clothes so I wouldn't throw up on myself, pulled all the sheets off the bed and threw one sheet over me. So I'm laying there, I assume completely naked. I may have had underwear on. We all had known each other since birth, so it really didn't matter that much. So I'm laying there. I pass out. I finally wake up at one point in the night, and Kelly Foote, and if anybody knows Kelly Foote, you know where this is headed. So Kelly Foote, I wake up, and he is straddling me, and my arms are pinned next to my chest because Kelly's got his legs on either side of me.
I was watching this one from the side. I was actually in the room watching.
Wasn't that woke me up? It was the pressure on the left side of my face directly above my eye. Because Kelly was trying to shave my eyebrow off.
Yeah, he was.
Now, the best part was he was so drunk, he was shaving with the way that my hair grew, so he couldn't get any of the hair to come off. So right. This just kept going on and on and on. I woke up, and he's on top of me. I said, "What are you doing?" And he just looks at me and goes, "Shh."
Sweetheart, don't worry about it, sweetheart. You just lay there.
I throw him off the bed. I hear John and Michael and everybody. I forget how many people there were. About
Bart Alfred was there.
Fell out of the closet across the room. They were in the closet watching all of this. They fall out. They're laughing. At least I think they're laughing. I can see their mouths moving, but I can't hear. And I can't figure out why I can't hear.
Oh, I forgot about this.
And I think I've gone deaf. Like, I've drank so much tequila, I've apparently gone deaf.
Like every girl I ever hit on.
Yes. Well, I reach up to my ears, and they have filled my ears with Vaseline and fresh cracked pepper. I don't know why there's fresh cracked pepper in there, but I'm pulling it out, and it's full of Vaseline and fresh cracked pepper. So I get that up, they laugh, and they go running out.
Lesson is, don't drink too many margaritas with Kelly Foote.
Oh, my God. So I lay there, I go back to sleep. The next thing I feel is I wake up for what feels like several hours later, it was probably 10 minutes later.
Yeah, I think so.
And I'm laying in the bed and I'm shaking because I'm obviously about to get sick. And I can't see anything, but I can feel this arm draped over me. Now, anybody that went to high school with me knows I was in a constant state of chasing girls. So
no,
it's a rumor.
Yeah.
So at this point in my mind, I'm thinking, all right, even in your drunken state, you managed to pull one.
Yeah.
So this arm is around me. So I grab the arm and I go to turn over to acknowledge who this is. And it's Foot. Foot has taken off all of his clothes and is now spooning me in the bed. And I look at him, I go, what in the fuck are you doing? Stand up with a PH for your West Side Church people.
Yeah.
And he kisses me on the cheek and he goes, good morning, sunshine. So I throw him off of the bed, go back to sleep. I don't remember anything beyond that, except that John, apparently, being the responsible person that John is, that's why he's married for 20 years and kids and the whole deal, and I'm not quite that successful in the relationship side of things.
You finally met one.
Apparently cut himself off at 9 o'clock, brushed his teeth,
you know what?
Vitamins, and went to bed.
Yeah, you know, I've only had two or three times that I've ever got so drunk that normally my body, for some reason, will go, it's like it's got a little alarm that goes, that's enough. And then it just all of a sudden it quits, you know, and it's like, no, nope. And I'll leave half beers sitting there. And it's like, that was weird. That only took 18. And then I just quit, you know,
I have seen him do it. So yeah. I'm sure he cut himself off at 9 o'clock after I made a complete ass of myself and threw up all over the place. So he wakes up in the morning and I think I rode over there with you or we left my car.
Yeah. Well, I had a better car than you.
Yeah. Well, isn't that the truth?
I had the little red Mustang.
That's true. So we get in the car, and he's going to drive me home. And I am, if you've ever been on about a 9 beer and 9 margarita drunk, you know exactly how I felt at 8 o'clock in the morning, and we had to get home. So John's driving.
It was hot.
What's that?
It was hot.
It was hot outside. And it
no air conditioner.
Oh, brutally hot. Car had no air conditioner. And I'm in the passenger seat, and we've got the window down. And he's got the radio going, and I'm fairly certain that he has the heat on just to screw with me.
I did. Well, so you used to fart in my car and turn the heat on.
Yeah, I used to do that. That was my go-to move. Yep. So this was payback time.
Yep.
And anybody that knows John tells you he will carry a grudge for 20 years until he gets you back.
Well, yeah, but the grudge went from earlier that year when we were in the car and you were riding with me. It was after a pep rally and we pulled up to a red light and you're in the car and the two girls pulled up next to us and you rolled your window down and I was like, all right. And they rolled down their window and you looked at them and you went, did someone fart in your car too? And so I was not happy that you did that because, you know, they didn't seem deaf.
They immediately became deaf.
Yeah, they did.
We can't hear you.
Okay, so we're in the car. We're heading home.
Yeah, so I'm in the passenger seat, windows down. I'm sweating like a hostage. Mike Tyson in a spelling bee sweating. I mean, it's bad. My mouth is all dry. I'm dying. I think I've got a little bit of water that's been sitting in the car, and it's warm and nasty. I'm just freaking dying. John's got the radio going, and he's humming a little tune, and, you know, he's just happier than he needs to be while I'm not.
Well, let me set the picture of the way you looked. Every turn I made, your head would go, whoa. I mean, it would move whichever way I turned. It was like on a swivel. You couldn't even hardly hold it up. You were turning with every turn.
So about every, I don't know, 3 or 4 miles, I'm like, John, you gotta pull over. You gotta pull over. So he pulls over and I open up the door and I'm throwing up everything but my toenails. This is going on and on. He's being a great sport about it. He keeps pulling over. So finally he goes, hey man, I gotta get some gas. All right. And I know he didn't need freaking gas. He was just doing it to mess with me because the gas station he stopped at was literally a half a mile away from the house.
Yep.
We could have made it home.
Yep.
So he pulls up at the gas tank, goes inside, pays for the gas, puts the thing in there. And he comes back out, and I can hear him.
No, your eyes are closed, and your head is back.
Yeah. I'm trying not to look at him because I can hear him out there, and I know John, and I know he is plotting a way to mess with me.
Yep.
It's done pumping the gas. He climbs in the car, and I can hear him, and he's humming a little tune. I don't even know what it was. And then in between the verses of the tune, I hear... So he's eating something. I know he's eating something, and I can't look because I know if I look, I'm going to vomit. And I can hear him, and he's smacking his lips, and I can smell it. And the whole car is just permeating with the smell of death and shame. I mean, it was just bad. So we're in the car, and I like, don't look at him. Just don't look at him. Mm-hmm. We all know that doesn't work.
Yep, thanks, of course.
So eventually it got the best of me, and I turned slightly to the left to take a look at John, and he turns to look at me, and he is eating the most disgusting gas station burrito you have ever seen in your entire life. I mean,
laid open. It is laid open.
Oh, the grease is running down his hand. It's running down his mouth, and he's chewing with his mouth open on purpose, looking right at me. It took about a half a second, and I'm throwing up outside the car.
Well, now let me say what you said. You said, hang on. That's exactly how it sounded. You went, hang on. It sounded like you turned on a water hose the way it was running down.
Hang on. I'm throwing up outside the car with the car door open, and he's right. It sounded like a water hose. There's nothing but water and bile coming up at this point. And he's just sitting there and saying, I threw up for what felt like an eternity. And finally, I got to the bottom of the well, and I sit back in the seat, and he's not saying anything. We sat there for at least 10 seconds in total silence. And I take a deep breath, and I look over to the left, and he's sitting there with his hand, and he takes that burrito and sticks it under my nose, and he goes, hey, man, you want the last bite?
One of my greatest moments.
Oh, Lord,
yeah. You didn't even get the words, hang on that one. You just went, you just opened the door and went out the door.
Oh, my God. It's making me want to throw up right now.
That is you still have never eaten a gas station burrito to this day, have you?
No, I have not. Oh, and I used to love those things. The Allsup's burritos were the greatest thing in the entire world. And to this day, I can't eat one. I can't go into a 7-Eleven at noon because that's when they're cooking them, and I could smell those freaking things all over the place.
That ride home from there, the half a mile to the house, was one of the greatest moments of my life, knowing how proud I was of what I had just done. And I remember dropping you at your – you didn't – he lived in that cul-de-sac where we lived. We pulled up to that cul-de-sac, and you didn't even say a word. You opened the door, you slammed it, and went staggering in the front door, and I was just laughing harder than I've ever laughed.
I don't think I moved for two straight days.
Yeah, I'm surprised your dad didn't make you get up and go out and mow the lawn or something because
– Oh, my God. John has a tradition of screwing with me in a car.
Yeah.
So that was one night. Do you remember, I forget where we were driving, but we had to drive somewhere and it was forever. And we were both exhausted and I was falling asleep. And you're like, dude, we can't fall asleep. I'm like, I'm not going to fall asleep. And he slapped me so hard. And I got both my hands up. There's nothing I can do. He slapped me like a scorned woman. Left a handprint on my face. He's like, dude. Had to be done.
Well, guys, listen, we're into this now for probably close to an hour. We've gone good tonight. This is a good second episode, I think. Ooh. So let's wind this thing up. Look, we're going to ask you guys once again, you need to go to the page, Two Farts in a Can, on the Facebook page, Two Farts in a Can, and join up. You're listening to that episode here. We probably linked it. We'll link it on Facebook. We're also going to put it on Twitter. Where at on Twitter, Jason?
Two Farts in a Can.
And that's the number two.
That's the number two, not the word.
Yep. At Two Farts in a Can. Go and follow us there, guys, because if we get enough followers there, that's a place we might even do something live one time. We don't know. When Jason comes to town, if this thing really does what we want, maybe we'll do a little road show. I've got with my Rangers Nations podcast, I've got some equipment now. We could actually go to a pub or a bar somewhere and set up and all have drinks, and we could record an episode there and get some people
I think that's an amazing idea. I'm having so much fun, and you know, I want to second the sentiments that John just gave. And you know, if you like what you're listening to, share with your friends, share with your parents, share with people you don't like, and let's have a great time with this. And yeah, I think we'd be remiss if I didn't say, hey, John, why don't you plug your Ranger Nations podcast while you're on?
Well, yeah, it's if you follow me on Twitter, it's @RangerNationPod, @RangerNationPod, but it's the Rangers Nation podcast on Dallas Sports Nation. That's where I blog at and do that. I'm going to be writing one. Jeff Fry, any of y'all that know the former Ranger Jeff Fry, I'm writing a story about him and these videos he made. I was at his house last weekend. We did an episode, or 2 weeks ago. I had Benji Gill on last week. And but anyway, it's a lot of fun. I'm still going to be doing that. With no baseball going on, look, our goal on this right here, the Two Farts in a Can, is to do this once a week. I've already got a podcast that goes once a week during the season, but this is kind of a yearly once a week thing. We may do these every few days during the coronavirus thing, because we are kind of we're in a standstill. There's not much we can do. These stories are fun. Y'all seem to like them. As long as you keep giving us the feedback that you want to hear more, maybe we'll do more than one a week. But I will tell you this: once we get to normal and we get back to normal, we both have jobs. We're both busy. We don't make money at this. We're going to do a little advertising. Hopefully, you know, you can donate to it and do that. But we're not asking anybody for that. We're, you know, the. But
wait a minute. Wait a minute. People can donate.
Yep.
Send your money to. Yeah.
But in all seriousness, I mean, it does generate a little bit of income that we'll just use to buy beer with if we get enough in there. That's really, it's not, we're not going to make a living doing this. This is all for y'all and for us. If we had four people that listened to it, we continue to do it once a week. It's just a lot of fun, and we've really enjoyed doing it. I think that's it. You got anything else to say before we sign it out?
No, thanks for listening. I'm glad to do the second podcast, and appreciate you guys hanging out with us.
And we'll probably be trying to do one about midweek. We'll try to get another one back out when we have time to discuss. You guys, seriously, give us ideas. We went through the questions today that a lot of you asked. We want some ideas. If you remember a story, get it out there. We'll all listen to it. And guys, when we get down the line, probably not for the first few months, but eventually we'll get to a place where we'll get somebody on here to be the third wheel on this thing, and we'll have fun one night doing it that way. So for all y'all that have been a part of this one, we thank you so much. Jason, tell them goodbye.
Deuces.
Deuces. We'll see you next time. This is Two Farts in a Can. Peace out.